This podcast is brought to you by Radio Reverb. If you like what you hear, please support us by donating online at radioreverb.com.
The What's the Crack podcast with Anthony Martin.
Listen in live weekly on Brighton's Radio Reverb.
See whatsthecrack.co.uk and radioreverb.com for showtimes.
In 1994, Ireland had a historic win that went down in history. They beat Bulgaria in the final of a World Cup that was immortalised in a book that sold millions around the world and was even featured in a blockbuster Hollywood movie. The win in question was to clinch the 422nd edition of the Quidditch World Cup, and the book and movie was Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. Now, despite it being a fictitious World Cup victory, I am very excited to say that there is now an actual real life Irish Quidditch team, and they're just back from the Quidditch European Games, and I'm joined on the phone by one of the squad, Rebecca O'Connor. Hello, Rebecca.
Hi, how are you?
Not too bad. Listen, I love this. Absolutely brilliant. There's an actual Irish Quidditch team.
There is, yes.
Fantastic. So the sport itself, how does it work? Because in the books and in the movies, there's flying broomsticks and there's magic little snitches. How does it work in real life?
The rules are very similar, but obviously we don't fly and we don't have a flying snitch either.
Oh, that's a letdown.
I know, a bit of a disappointment there, but we're working on it. But yeah, we basically have three chasers who are trying to score through the hoops. A keeper guarding the goals, and then we've got beaters who are using dodgeballs to knock players out of the game.
Wow, so it's pretty full on then.
It's pretty full on, yes. And we do have our own version of the snitch as well. We have an independent player who's dressed in yellow, who has a tag similar to tag rugby on their shorts, and the seekers have to try and catch that tag off the snitch runner.
Okay, so just kind of clarify, you got keepers, chasers, beaters, a snitch, and seekers as well. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so how many are on the team then? How many on each team?
On pitch, there's 7 players, but you can have up to 21 on your roster.
Okay, and so can you substitute people at any given time?
Yeah, there's like running subs, so you can sub any time you want.
And how long does the game last for?
It usually lasts approximately half an hour. So the snitch comes out at 18 minutes and then it ends when the snitch is caught. So it usually, yeah, at least 18 minutes and usually around half an hour.
So you mentioned the snitch thing. So somebody's kind of running around with a tag. Now that person is different to either team, is that right?
Yeah, they're an independent player, so they're not on either team.
Okay, and only seekers can catch them?
Yes.
Okay, and how many seekers are on each team?
Just one seeker on each team.
All right, I love it. It's a mix between dodgeball, kind of handball, rugby. It's got everything going on, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit hectic, but it's really fun.
So the teams themselves, then, are they kind of separate men and female teams, or are they mixed?
No, it's a mixed sport actually.
And what got you into the sport?
Well, I started playing because I'm a bit of a Harry Potter fan, and I thought it would be fun. And I think it started in a similar way with people just playing it as like a fun joke, but then lots of people loved it, so they kept playing it, and slowly over a few years it started to grow into an actual sport.
And there's teams all over the world, I believe, as well. People playing all over the world from different countries.
Yeah, I think it's played on almost every continent now.
Wow. And so in Ireland then, presumably there are kind of local teams as well as a national team. Is that right?
Yes. We have our two biggest teams are in Dublin and Belfast. And then we've got three smaller teams that are starting to develop that are in Cork, Limerick and Galway.
How long has it been going in Ireland for then, Quidditch, as a sport?
It's been going for about 5 years. But it's only really started to grow in the past 2 years, I'd say.
How do those local clubs kind of advertise and get people in? It must be quite difficult to get recognition.
Yeah, I think it's quite difficult to get people to say, because a lot of people don't really view it as a sport. So they just try it as a one-off thing. So it's been very slow to grow. But most teams will put up posters all over their local towns and cities, and they'll advertise on social media. And I think just regular advertising seems to work the best.
So that pulls people in. And do those teams get sponsorship then? It must be quite difficult to get sponsors for any sport, but particularly for a new sport like this.
Yeah, we had a sponsorship team that was approaching businesses for the national team. So they were trying to get companies to like put their logos on our jerseys and stuff. So we've been trying to like put out an effort to get sponsorship to help us fund stuff. So that's like our next big project that we're working on.
And what's the kind of the first reaction you get from people then? They must be taken aback a little bit by you turning up and going, I've got an idea for you. Do you fancy sponsoring a Quidditch team?
Yeah. A lot of people don't really take it seriously at first and they think we're joking. So, yeah, it takes a little bit of convincing to tell them we're serious.
Right. The sport itself, it's quite full on, as we mentioned a bit earlier. Handball, dodgeball, all that kind of stuff mixed into one. How often do the players train?
So most club teams train once or twice a week. And then the national team meets up every few weeks and like about once a month to have a training weekend.
So it is quite an active part of a person's calendar then if they're getting involved with the sport.
Yeah, you can get quite caught up in it. I spend most of my weekends at training, so it's pretty full on.
Do you find a lot of the players are kind of participating in other sports as well, like GAA? Because, again, there's a... I wouldn't say crossover, but there are similarities between what you're doing in Quidditch with Gaelic football.
Yeah, we've had a lot of players transfer over and they always find that they have quite an advantage from coming from a sporting background. So I think players that do play sports before they played Quidditch usually really enjoy it because they can bring their skills over and try something new.
And do you have like a Harry Potter test or quiz or initiation before you join a team?
No, anyone can join. I joined because I'm a bit of a Harry Potter fan, but a lot of my friends joined just because they liked the sport and they wanted to try something new.
Mm.
So it's pretty open, yeah.
Okay, so you don't have to have read all the books to take part?
No, you don't.
And is there a real-life Quidditch rule book anywhere?
There is, yeah. There's an international association and every year they review the rules and release an updated rule book.
Wow. And is it very different to how it's described in the book then? Because obviously we were mentioning earlier on about the flying broomsticks. There is no flying broomsticks in real life. What do people kind of ride along on something else?
Yeah, we use PVC pipes.
All right.
As our brooms.
Okay.
So yeah, so they kind of work like a handicap where they slow down the game a little bit. And similar to the way in basketball you have to bounce, or in football you can't pick up the ball. So yeah, they kind of work as a handicap.
Okay, so you do have that kind of to bear in mind when you're playing it. And I suppose the sport, I'm assuming J.K. Rowling knows about this sport and how big it's becoming. Have you had any word from her or any kind of correspondence from J.K. Rowling or anyone involved in the Harry Potter universe?
We actually haven't. As far as I know, she is aware of it, but she doesn't tend to comment on it or get involved.
Okay.
So I think we're all kind of waiting for the day that she says something.
And you're gonna bring that to the sponsors. Go, here, look, listen, it's an improved sport.
Yeah, exactly.
So this weekend, Ireland were over in Oslo for the European Games. How did they do?
We did okay. We won two of our matches and we're now currently ranked 14th in Europe.
So that's not bad. That's pretty good. Pretty good. Team UK won the European Games the weekend. So did they will they move up in the rankings?
Yeah, last year Australia won the World Cup and then America came second and the UK came third.
Right.
So I think... yeah, the UK is one of the top contenders at the moment for.
So they're
being
the ones.
Best.
They're the ones to watch out for. I suppose they could definitely say, seeing as it's a kind of a British book, coming home. So they do have some rights to it, I guess.
Yeah.
So what's on the horizon for Team Ireland then?
Well, next year we have the World Cup, so we're going to start selecting our squad for that in the next few months and training them up, and hopefully we can use the experience from this competition and give it our all next year at the World Cup.
Okay, so that's to look forward to. And I suppose as a sport then, I assume the plan is to get it recognised and possibly to make it a bigger event?
Yeah, so Quidditch Ireland is applying for an governing body status so that we can be recognised alongside the FAI and the GAA and all of that. So
wow.
We're currently in the process of applying.
Okay, so when are you expecting that to go through then, or to the application to go in?
It takes a few years because you have to have a committee and you have to have records of your bank accounts and everything. So it will take 3 or 4 years. So yeah, it's a long process.
Yeah, fingers crossed. So there might be a Quidditch event at the Olympics at some point in the future if all goes well.
Yeah, that would be amazing. That's
the dream. There we go. And listen, so just one last question. Before a game, are there any pre-game rituals that Quidditch teams do?
We always have a chant. We always sing beforehand. So Team Ireland's chant was Factor 50, which we chanted over and over. Kind of ironic.
Right.
We told all the other countries that, oh, we had brilliant training sessions. The sun was always out. Of course, it wasn't. So
lovely.
Our chant became Factor 50.
That's really good. There must be great camaraderie between the different Quidditch associations around the world.
Yeah, it's really good. It's a lovely community. Everyone's really friendly.
Perfect. Well, listen, Rebecca, thanks very much for coming on and telling us more about Quidditch as a sport. I'm going to call it a sport. It sounds really, really kind of full on, really active, really athletic. But yeah, listen, the best of luck with your application for it being recognised as a sporting body.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You've been listening to a Radio Reverb podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review. And to hear more podcasts like this, check out RadioReverb.com.